coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome to Hagman. It's the Hagman Report for today, Tuesday, September 19th, 2023. Pretty soon it's going to be 24, and then, my goodness, how time does fly. A couple of things before we get started. I just want to mention that, the House is scheduling the first Biden impeachment hearing. Big deal. I think it needs to be more than that. The throes of the Hunter Biden, this whistleblower legal team throws his lawsuit into the wood chipper. That's a headline in Liberty Daily. I'm watching that, watching a few other things as well. Now, these are my notes. There is a possibility, I'm going to say this flat out here. I don't believe you're going to see Biden on the 24 ticket. Just take that to the bank. I've got some people who are going to be speaking on that, hopefully here in the next couple of days. Also, the fact that the Senate changed, this might not sound like a big deal, but it is when you think about how the respect for institutions is being degraded, and this is all part of the communist plot, the one world sanctioned organization, is to dress down, pun intended, the Senate, the House, the executive branch. Okay, you remember Ronald Reagan wouldn't go into the Oval Office without wearing a suit. Well, now you've got the Senate accommodating one man, and that's Fetterman. But we're not sure which Fetterman it is, if it's Fetterman 1.0, 2.0, 3.0. There are different Fettermans out there. I have no doubt about that. Maui, still a mystery. Many, many questions that need to be answered about that. We're on that. We're also on the fact that you're going to be seeing this now. Gas stations refusing credit cards. I'm telling you, this is going to be taking place. Listen to what I'm saying. Gas stations refusing certain credit cards. Why? Because of the so-called carbon footprint. Okay, I wanted to get those out of the way. There's a lot more to get into. WatchHagmanPI.com. WatchHagmanPI.com. I've got some important reports coming out. I've been working on them, which is why I look the way I do, which is haggard. Eric said, haggard. That's the word of the day. Watch also potential false flags, whether it be from, the remnants of a missing F-35 to loose nukes to whatever. Watch for false flags to deflect from all of the headlines. With me, of course, is Stan Dale, standale.com. And if I talk about Stan Dale, you've got to talk about EMP Shield because of the sun and other things. If you don't have an EMP Shield, we'll get one now. Please get one now, or two, or five, or ten, or whatever, however many you need, get them now. Because I don't know how long you're going to have before something happens. It's going to take out your electronics. And look, I know this is not going to ensure that your power is going to stay on. But when it does come back up and things are going to be spotty, your equipment will not be damaged. That's EMPShield.com/Hagman. EMPShield.com. And use the promo code Hagman, okay? EMPShield.com. Use promo code Hagman for $50 off. Do it now. Do it today. Do it right now. And you will thank me later. All right, with me, Stan Dale from StanDale.com. Stan, how are you, sir?
Oh, very well. I've survived the slings and arrows of the enemy. He's certainly played havoc with our computers and things around the house. There have been more things happening, dropping stuff, things not working. It's just, I feel that the devil really must like to punish us.
Interesting you say that. Eric blames me for a lot of the technical problems that we have, but I in turn blame demonic forces. Right, Eric the Tech?
Correct.
There you go. Okay.
There's the voice, the mystery voice in the background. Right. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Stan.
Okay, yeah. Boy, just a lot of things have happened. We had to take Holly's computer in for a week, her older computer, which she does her website with. And we've been having intermittent problems with it. She'd be sitting there, and all of a sudden the screen would go black, but the computer would still be there, you know, and working, but the screen would go out. So you know, we took it into the dealer in the Springs, Colorado Springs, and left it there. And of course, it failed at the front desk there, so they knew it did fail. But then thereafter, for about 4 or 5 days, nothing failed.
Wait a second. I can finish the story. You left it there. A member of Giuliani's team picked it up because the FBI didn't want to have it. I ended up getting a copy of the hard drive. Now I know. Now I can. Never mind. Go.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, I hear you. Anyway, they blew the dust out because we have a lot of dust here and put it back together again. And it's been working ever since like it should. But it was an annoyance. You know, it was delaying us and taking our mind off other things that are more important to share with people. But so the website will probably be up and working well later this week. I don't know if we've got today up yet. I'll just check and see. But she started to try to do it. Let's see. Yeah. No, she's still on National Cheeseburger Day. That was the 15th. Well, eventually, it'll get back up. It's just a matter of us organizing things here to rebuild stuff. Anyway, a lot of things have been happening in the world. And my particular focus politically and biblically, prophecy-wise, is on Mohammed bin Salman. I can't say enough about this guy consolidating his power. I mean, you know, it was Saudi money, not his per se, but it was Saudi money that did 9/11 to us. And now then we've got him kind of telling Biden what to do, you know, and he's made a deal, shook hands with the Iranian nation, which he'd been at odds with for maybe, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years, something like that. They had different kinds of Islam. The Iranian type is more militant, Shiite, whereas his Sunnis are more peaceful. And there was some arguments over the various mullahs and what they were doing. But anyway, that's been resolved on the surface anyway. You can see on my show images page, slide 51, they restored relations after 7 or so years, it says. Now, why is that important? Mohammed bin Salman has been, for several weeks now, negotiating with Israel to have a peace treaty and to deal with the Palestinian issue. Now, how can he be friends with Israel, for real, and be friends with Iran, who has sworn to destroy Israel? It's, you know, it doesn't add up. I suspect that he's going to eventually tell Biden and other nations that are in that area, we're going to make the Abraham Accords widespread here in the Middle East through about 40 some odd nations that are part of his gang of 40 or whatever. And they're following what Mohammed bin Salman says. Okay, so watch for this very soon. He's going to pull some kind of a stunt that will force Israel, or coerce Israel, into this signing this the Abraham Accords. Now, he's a prince. Mohammed bin Salman is a prince. And remember Daniel, the prophet Daniel saying, the prince of the covenant, the guy who signs the covenant, is a prince. Well, Mohammed bin Salman is the only one I know of in all those 40 nations around there. We don't have a prince in our country either, or in Israel. The only one that is still a prince. And, you know, I don't know how long his dad's going to last before before MBS becomes king, but he is a prince at the moment, and he's pushing for this peace treaty with the many nations around Israel. In slide 50 on my show images page, let me just read you something. This is about the Temple Mount, a very hotly contended place. And for years now, the king of Jordan has been in charge of security and running the Temple Mount. About who got to go there, who got to preach there, who got to, you know, do whatever they want there. And so he was in charge of the temple mount. That's right. You've got it there. Well, now, if Muhammad bin Salman goes over and physically stands on the temple mount, if he does that, he will be, you know, the new keeper, the new security man for the temple mount. He'll replace the king of Jordan. I didn't know that's the way it worked, but he wants to do that because he's got Mecca, Medina, and Al-Aqsa. So, you know, he is going to have Al-Aqsa on the Temple Mount. But that way he'll have three holy places he's in charge of. So he'd be the grand poobah, in essence, of all the Muslim activity in the Middle East. So watch for that. If he's in there and he's in control of the Temple Mount and he gets irritated or, you know, greedy or whatever with Israel, he's going to have a foothold there, a legal foothold, to do things right in the middle of Jerusalem there in the Temple Mount because he's in charge. It's just a terrible situation to see that, but I think it's fulfilling prophecy. And he's turning Saudi Arabia into a logistics center, which means that, you know, communications and conferences and all that kind of stuff worldwide are going to be focusing on going to Saudi Arabia because, you know, he's making it easy for them. And when you say logistics center, that means he's tied into internet all over the world, to communication on the phone, satellite, etc. And they just recently put a couple of astronauts, you know, up into space and back. So he's spread his wings. And he's becoming bigger than I ever thought he would this quick. He's moving, you know, very rapidly.
Very interesting indeed.
Yeah, and as a technological support for what he's doing here, or kind of a funny support, size 47, 48. 48 is talking about Iran, who's just, you know, restored relations with, and their Reaper-type drone. They're calling it the Mohair 10 drone. And you can see pictures of it in slide 48 if you click the picture. And if you're looking at that, you'll see that it's their version of the American MQ-9 Reaper drone. I mean, they're almost identical copies. And so, yeah, but we're way ahead of them. I mean, MQ-9 Reaper was back 2007, I think, when it started. But they've just now announced this super-duper drone, which is a copy of ours. But that means that they can go right down the Golan Heights and bomb key locations in Israel before we could stop them, you know. I mean,
if you don't mind, let's not just gloss over. Boy, it's a replica of ours. Gee, how did that happen? Because look, in the West develops. America, it seems like just about everything worth anything was developed in America by Americans. Am I right about that? I think I'm right about that. Okay. And suddenly they've got a replica of what we, our intellectual minds built, our, you know, the craftsmanship here in America, what we built, they've got a replica of it. How did that happen? Don't forget, folks, Obama, Arab Spring, the power pivot, okay, that has gone on or was attempted to go on at the hands of Obama. And the same people, including Victoria Nuland, the Obama neocon, or the warmonger in Ukraine. Go ahead, sir.
Well, I mean, you're mentioning how they've managed to get this from Obama or wherever. Also, understand that China, for probably the last 25 years, has had what they call the Chinese desk at our patent office in Washington. And they have a first look at the unsealed patents, and I think in some cases, according to what I talked to one of the inspectors there, they even look at some of the patents that are being submitted as what do you call it, provisional, and before they're even looked at or unsealed, and sending that information back over to mainland China. And within 2 weeks, with normal type stuff, they can have a working prototype on the market on the West Coast of the United States. They are great copiers, and once they get the idea, then they can enhance it. But they just steal everything, and they're in the Middle East with Saudi Arabia, and their influence is in Iran. And they're, of course, loaning money and equipment to Russia. So when you see this happening, know that for the last 25 years, we've been just dumping technology into China's hands and whoever they want to give it to in Africa and Russia and Middle East. They are, China's a major player in the world game. They want to be controlling the world. They want to be the world government. And certainly with their communist efforts here in the United States, they have pretty much neutered the strength of the United States, the military, our technology, neutered our power systems, our gasoline and oil production. Now, they have, I said this a few weeks ago with you, they have about 10,000 electric cars sitting in a lot in a field over there in China that no one's bought, and they don't care because they put that down as we're the leader, lead seller of electric cars, even though we put them in a junkyard there and just sit them there. They're affecting our dollar. The yuan has gone very strong. You're going to see future oil contracts, business contracts nationwide being written as a yuan for the basis, being the most stable currency. Now, because we're so weak and we've woke our military, we have no real defense on land or overseas because our technology is becoming outdated. Biden's administration, people behind him like Obama, they have weakened our military. They have made it like it. I mean, it's just not strong. You don't want to see a Marine wearing lipstick and having a vagina. You know, it's just and it's really a guy. It's just crazy. I mean, anyway, they have done what they can to demoralize us, to weaken our military, to clobber our economy. I mean, look at the inflation at the moment. How many people in small businesses are going out of business? Can't keep up. I mean, even with us, we're having to print less books because, you know, the cost of them has gone up so much that it's very expensive to, you know, lay out $12,000, $15,000 when you want to print a book. Paper costs and all that kind of stuff. And other businesses, you know, that are service businesses, they may or may not be doing well. It depends on whether the restaurants are working, you know, or functioning. But the only thing I see is football, those kind of things are still viable. Crazy stuff. Anyway, the Iranians and Mohammed bin Salman, what a combination. He's just, oh, I've said it for several years now. Watch this guy because he's bad, bad news. And he's proving the point now. All right.
Interesting. Okay.
EMPs, EMP shields.
Yes.
You were talking about that a while ago.
Promo code Hagman, yes. Coupon code Hagman. EMPShield.com. I've got to say that. Look, folks, I'm not kidding about this. Protect your stuff that you got, okay? Seriously, protect it. There's the website. There's the phone number on the upper left. Go shopping. Get one of these. Have it installed in your home. It protects you from fire. It protects you. It protects your equipment that's plugged into your home circuitry. It does not protect you from the EMP. It protects your equipment from damage from the EMP, whether it be from a sustained sun-like event or a nuclear blast, the EMP from that. So it'll be usable once the grid comes back up. Understand that. It's not a magic thing that, you know, connects to something that's not there. It just, you know, when it comes back up, it's everything is as it should be. Go ahead, sir.
And, well, what I wanted to add to that was another reason to put these things in your breaker box, particularly there, is that if we have an EMP from the sun, that's thousands of times more threatening and more damaging than an EMP pulse from a nuclear bomb. Nuclear bomb, you know, it produces that EMP pulse maybe a millionth of a second at last. And it does the damage, you know, to your electronics, as we've said. But when you have a solar EMP that lasts for not a millionth of a second, but for hours, like the 1859 Carrington event, that is going to cause huge surges, maybe 60,000 volt arcs and stuff along the power lines that lead right into your house. And if you don't have something to dump that huge charge into the ground instead of into your house wiring, you can expect a fire to start in your breaker box and in the walls and burn your house down. So we say get an EMP shield to ground all that stuff. In fact, I just got an email early last week from a guy who had put his EMP shield in his home, and lightning struck the house and clobbered things inside the house, you know, like furniture and things like that. But the electronics were saved by his EMP shield. The EMP shield doesn't work after that. When you hit it with lightning, I mean, it's like anything else. When you hit it that much energy, it's going to melt. But it put everything down to ground instead of letting it, you know, burn everything. And the flash burns that he got on the equipment and stuff, on the house furniture, was kind of superficial as the main blast was being put into the ground by the EMP shield. Now, I also suggest strongly, if there are some mitigating things that cause the EMP pulse from the sun to flash like it did on his place, I suggest that you have maybe 6 to 12 of these small handheld fire extinguishers just in case. And if it isn't used on your place, your neighbors who don't have EMP shields are probably going to need help putting fires out in their place. And if they're next door to you, you want to be sure that you put their fires out so they don't burn you down because of their stupidity. Anyway, protect yourself from this huge, huge surge of voltage over hours. It's going to be mighty. In fact, when it happened in 1859, it was only traveling along telegraph lines, and it was producing arcs so hot that it burned several telegraph operators' fingers. They had to go to the hospital. Their hands were burned from the flash on their telegraph key. So imagine that in your wall and, along the wires that go throughout your house. You got to be sure you dump all this stuff with the EMP shield down into the ground. And like this customer of ours, he's pleased to sponge. He says, look, all my equipment and everything else will be running, and the house isn't on fire, so, we're happy. And we're replacing his unit as our warranty guarantees.
Not to make this into a sales pitch, but you actually replace the unit even
There's a $50 restocking and delivery fee that we have to pay, but other than that, we guarantee them.
Cool. Okay,
it's about a $25,000 insurance policy we put on each one of them.
Wow. Okay. Good.
To know. So, it's good. Okay. EMP. Okay. While we're talking solar EMPs, let's look at slide 43. That's right. I put that up. Every week or every show we're doing here. And if you click on the picture, the green picture there, you'll see that it's showing which active regions are leaving on the right and which active regions are moving into Earth-directed position. And
remind people, what you're looking at, folks, is available at HagmanPI.com or on Rumble or on Brighteon. People listening to this by way of podcast or on the radio, please do me a favor, go to Rumble or Brighteon and subscribe. Please subscribe. I'm begging you because it does affect or impact our metrics and the numbers. It helps our numbers. It helps the suppression to be overcome. So subscribe, Rumble, Brighteon, HagmanPI.com. You can get there from HagmanPI.com. But so what you're looking at, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I know people are listening to this and saying, what am I looking at? I'm not looking at anything. I'm just listening to this. So go to Rumble, Brighteon, and subscribe. Go ahead, sir. Finish your thought.
I forget that. It's a good point that you make. But what I'm looking at here is called a heliographic image. It's a thing they take of the sun from one of our satellites up there. And it's it's showing about two-thirds of the sun's surface. The rest of it is lost because the other satellite failed years ago. But what we see here gives us an idea of what's coming toward us around the sun spinning around, what kind of active regions are headed to Earth direction in the next, say, week to some degrees to about 8 or 9 days as well. Now, what we're looking at for this week is a series of very active regions, about five of them, now starting to move toward the equatorial region of the sun and be Earth-directed. Now, it's only, the sun goes around once at the equator in 28 days. So if you divide this map in half, left half is 14 days, right half is 14 days, and half of the left would be 7 days. So within a week. The thing you're seeing on the very left of this graph, these bright areas, will be definitely Earth-directed. And within about 3 days, the lead edge of all this is going to be starting to be Earth-directed. The sun has been naughty. It has been bubbling and throwing off stuff. I've been watching it in several wavelengths, frequencies, to see, the hot zones down inside the sun and up on the outer layers of the sun. And I've been seeing things that are just nasty. Huge, huge arcs going out, close to a million miles off the surface of the sun. And on both edges of the sun, as you're seeing this. Now, what I'm going to suggest at the moment is that I have slide 45, which is a picture of the sun, but it's also a video link. And that video link takes you to, it's about how many seconds? About 10-second video. If you go there, Eric, and you can show it and then play it, you'll see this huge, huge filament arc up from the surface of the sun out toward the Earth where we're going, in our go path. But it's going to be, kind of shy of being able to hurt us, which is good. And that just gives you an idea. And look on the horizons, on the edges of the sun in this video, you'll see that there are, flares and stuff going off of the sun. Really, and it's more active than this on the side that's coming around. Huge magnetic fields and problems with that. Okay. Yeah, in fact, I wonder if I can... Where do I go? I was going to suggest I share a screen, but we have trouble doing that on this. We got the studio set up. So go to what's called the Solar Dynamic Observatory, SDO at NASA, and look at the current images. I'm just going to do that myself here. I'm going to tell you some stuff, which you can't see, obviously, unless you go to that site. But SDO, Solar Dynamics, here we go. Okay, and this has pictures of the sun that I was talking about in different wavelengths to show different depths. Now, I'm just going to look at that same thing that we were talking about. Go back, Eric. Go back to see that more images down in the lower left of that picture? Click on more images. Okay, now the upper right-hand corner, that data link under that orange sun, click on that and go down to 48-hour video, last 48 hours on the sun, and click on that. And then watch, pull your screen up, watch what happens when that starts to play. I guess it will. What's happening with that? Why isn't it playing? Said he, I don't know.
It's on our screen playing.
Okay, all right, yeah. Well, look at the horizon of the events on this. You'll see stuff shooting out on the left and right just everywhere. And, of course, what's on the right side is the leftover of the big filament we just looked at a while ago, and it's going around to the back side of the sun. But look on the left and see what's coming. And you can see that this is stuff going up into the atmosphere, if you wish, the chronosphere of the sun. What is coming is going to be potentially producing EMPs, whether it's this particular week or month, it's in the season. It's a very active solar season. So that just shows you there. And let's see. And if you go back, Eric, to the left and go back down to the bottom of the page there, go all the way to the bottom of that one that you've got. Further, 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 further. One more. There you go. There's the green picture for today.
Yeah.
Okay, that's where I got that image from.
Yep.
So you can go and check it yourself at this location on the SDO. I don't think there's anything else we need to worry with on that side there. Okay. Now, NASA has launched a satellite, which is now parked around the sun. I think it's 13 million kilometers or something like that. So it doesn't burn up, but it's in the heat of the sun, and they have a way to cool it, apparently. It's a solar probe. And if you click on slide 44 on the text, it'll take you to the article. You have to scroll down. There you go. And scroll down the middle of the page, and you'll see a gray video. Yeah, yeah. And with that gray video, click on the play button. This is showing streaks of high energy particles, not waveforms, but particles striking that satellite from the sun. And it's vicious. And these are the first close-up photographs that we've been able to see, in this case video, of the solar wind particles that are coming with all those eruptions on the surface of the sun. I don't know how long that satellite's going to last, but that's the bombardment of it. And you can read that article, see what it says about it.
What are those particles?
Oh, they can be iron, copper, helium, hydrogen. They're atoms, primarily, but they're accelerated to high speed. Now, they're coming off there at maybe a speed that it'll get it to Earth in about, depending on the storm and the strength of it, in about a day and a half to 2 days. So we have this satellite there sending us a picture at the speed of light. It says, look what's coming. So we have a day and a half, 2 days to prepare for that impact on our power system, you know, et cetera, our weather system. And so this is an early warning system for us for the particle bombardments. And those particles, if they are charged particles, and we have an EMP comprised of these, that's what's going to create the Carrington event. So, you know, happy day, we have an early warning system to tell people that, you know, there's an EMP pulse coming. Now, that's
EMP storm. 2 days, you're screwed, basically, right?
Well, basically, that's a storm, yeah. That's a particle storm, which is a magnetic field. But you will get an electromagnetic pulse almost at the speed of light.
Right.
So I wonder whether that pulse will wipe out our satellite up there sending us the data anyway. It's an effort.
Yeah.
You know, very difficult times out there.
And for radio listeners, I just want to make it clear, that picture looked like if you live up in the northeast or up in the north, drive across 80 during a snowstorm. Okay. That's what it looked like, essentially.
Yeah.
You know,
a hot snowstorm.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Go ahead, sir.
Now, in keeping with the changes on the sun, which I've been watching this solar season, I mean, what NASA and NOAA predicted for the number of sunspots and hence the activity in the sun has been double that. It's been double their expectations, and which underscores what I've been saying. I think, regardless of what they're telling you publicly, that we are being threatened by the sun, really, this solar cycle and in this solar maximum that we're in now. In addition to the threats of EMP and all that kind of stuff, it's hitting our weather system. In slide 40 here, I have a picture of the heating of the Earth's surface at the moment, the anomalous heating. But the article says, NASA says it's summer of 2023 was Earth's hottest season ever recorded based on records going back to 1880. Hot, hot, hot. It was 2.1 degrees Fahrenheit warmer than the summers between 1951 and 1980 as well. This tells us that it's affecting our weather. It's not cow gas or anything else like that or a number of vehicles we've got. And it's mainly the sun that is driving our weather and this climate change. So, anyway.
Well, look, the climate does change. It's changed forever. But it's not man doing it. It's the sun, right? Is what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, man's activities do contribute maybe 6% to the climate change and stuff like that, and local variations, you know, in little tiny regions. But, you know, 94% of it is the sun. And if you look at the solar records, the ice cap records, and going back, you know, 10,000, 20,000 years, you're going to see that the sun is a driver when humans weren't even, you know, doing anything. So, I've said this many times, the reason they're doing this and making us think, well, if we stop using fossil fuels and we go to electric cars, et cetera, that what we're going to be able to do is mitigate this climate change. So that makes you think that you can do something about it. If they told you the truth and said, you can't do a thing about it because it's the sun itself and it's going to get hot and it may blow off a shell at us, you're going to create anarchy. You know, people would be so depressed and frightened that they would just riot in the streets. So you have to give them hope that they can change it, which in this case they can't. It, you know, call it an act of God, whatever you want. They're not going to be able to change the sun. So that's why they give us this story about, stop using gasoline cars. And our governor here in Colorado is now not issuing any gardening contracts for the state unless they use electric mowers and that kind of stuff and electric tractors.
Well, okay. Well, we need to get rid of those people making those decisions. And in my particular view, okay, I believe that. I believe that we have to become ungovernable. And I mean, just to veer off into the political here. Don't tell me I can't use a gas car, a gas mower, a gas leaf blower. I'll use what I damn well want to use. And I just become ungovernable. Just say no. There's more of us than them. Screw them. Go ahead, sir.
Well, even if you did I use an electric hedge trimmer, which uses a lithium battery. How much heat, energy, and pollution does manufacturing that lithium battery cause versus burning up some gasoline in my handheld, hedge trimmer?
And then, of course, having to mine the lithium. As well.
Well, yeah, now we've got a volcano over there, northwest Nevada, that has huge lithium deposits, but I'm sure we can't mine those because that would pollute the environment or some rubbish. These guys they're doing everything they can to distract us.
Yeah.
Keep us busy work. And it's not busy construction work, it's busy work to weaken our country and allow communism to take over or allow China, Russia, and Iran to invade us and destroy our infrastructure, destroy the power systems and whatever. Oh, boy, Holly and I get really depressed sometimes just looking at all this stuff, putting all the pieces together and watching while nothing is being done to change it in the governing structure of this country. We're at the point, and you and I have talked about this before, where they're driving, the powers that be are driving the people of this country that are good people, thinking people, to despair to the point that they're going to take up their pitchforks and march on Washington, storm the Bastille, as it were, because they are not getting the results they need in the electoral process. And it's Soros has planned this for some time. That you have a revolution and civil war and revolution, and the communists have their people on both sides, those in the antagonistic things against the government and those in the government. So whichever side wins a civil conflict, they'll have control of that government as well by having, sleeper agents on both sides. Oh, gosh, they don't even teach this. They don't teach civics, in American history and things in the schools anymore. So kids don't even know about the communist revolution, what happened to the Tsar, in Russia.
Right.
How that worked.
It's a sad state of affairs, and one of the most corrupt unions, in my particular opinion, is the teachers' union, and pushing all of this trans crap when, in fact, stuff like, issues such as the communist revolutions, plural, of the 20th century need to be taught. And they're not being taught, and that's by design, because they all failed. They were all miserable failures and killed, murdered many, 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 many millions of people. But yet you're not going to hear about this. But go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's true. On this hottest season since 1880, I noticed that Arizona, Utah, and California are having trouble. Those are typically dry desert type states. California, portions of it. Utah is very much away in Arizona, but they've been pulling water. Like in Phoenix, their water supply comes from an aquifer underneath the city, and elsewhere out in the suburbs or out in the countryside there in Arizona and in Utah, they've been pulling this water out of reservoirs, and there are cracks appearing in the surface as the reservoirs collapse because the water's gone. It's not holding it up anymore. And can you imagine what's going to be happening? I mean, Phoenix has already started to settle a bit, but there are going to be large cracks open up underneath Phoenix because they've used the water underneath them, and it's not being replenished. So, you know, in slide 46 on our show images page, I do show some images of these huge cracks that have appeared, you know, like little canyons that have appeared as the ground splits down to the level where the water used to be. Yeah, I mean, look at that. That's just on the left there. It's, you see how it stretched across that tree, across that crevice? And they've even flown drones down there to have a look at it. This is the thin end of the wedge. And I know when we came back to the States, we had thought about, instead of going to Colorado where the Dream Vision showed us, we thought, well, why don't we go to Arizona? And what about Phoenix? And what about Flagstaff? And I look at those areas now. They're all water starved, and they're drawing the water from underneath. We'd have been sitting on something going to fall into a big hole, a sinkhole of some sort. So the good Lord led us to the right place. There's no doubt about that. Anyway.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
Let's see. Your groundwater is one of the main sources of fresh water on Earth. It provides almost half of all drinking water and about 40% of global irrigation. So when we're having this heat storm, this hot season, the water isn't getting to where it needs to be. Yeah, there you go. It's literally splitting the ground open across American Southwest. And this is just kind of the thin edge, as I say, of the wedge. Also, you remember years ago when I used to forecast earthquakes on the coast in various places using the naval FinMac maps and things?
Yes.
And we talked at that time about the earthquake lights, you know, what the Aborigines in Australia called the Minmin lights. And they're glowing balls of light that pop up out of the ground and sometimes track people or cars. And I think they're like ball lightning in essence. But where do they come from right before an earthquake? Well, I've got a picture of some of the luminous things here in slide 41. And they're now coming around what I've been saying for, 20 years now, that the pressure on the mantle, on the crust there where it's about to have an earthquake, it puts pressure on crystallized quartz. And if you do that, if you put mechanical pressure on quartz crystals and rock, it produces electric flow. And if you do it across a long section, which is going to rip apart and make an earthquake, then you can understand why it produces electricity that pops up into the atmosphere and in some cases produces ball lightning. Yeah, and you can see over the horizon this glow here in this photograph. For people not seeing it.
So the two illuminated, I don't know, what, two balls that are illuminated to the right? The picture would be the ball lightning or the not
well over lightning, the horizon. But... Yeah, that discharge, the big white one, I think is the main discharge. I don't know about that left pink one. It could be, but it might just be a light in the horizon. But so they're now saying, well, gosh, you know, this is probably what it is. Duh. I mean,
saying that years ago. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's something for them to talk about, I guess. But anyway. All right. Now, to biblical props and things, I've been getting, I think you got a couple of the links to a guy's lecture on the Revelation 12 sign, about the woman and, the being clothed in the sun and the moon beneath her feet and crowned with 12 stars. And that is describing what the constellation Virgo, the woman Virgo, what that is looking like today. It looked like it 6 years ago in this same time period, but it's more so now. And so we look up in the star map, and we look at a picture of Virgo, and we see that today, that and toward midnight, for a couple of days hereafter, it's still going to be in position there. The moon is at her feet, in the heavens, and... you can see over my shoulder there. Let's see. Which way do I have to go? Like that way. Wrong way. The moon is just at the tip of my chair. They're heading for her feet. And the sun's up the top. Eric, if you click on slide 37 for a second. Okay. Now here you see the moon is clothing her. Sorry, the sun is clothing her. The moon, which is here, is at her feet. And, of course, this is the womb area. There's another whole discussion on that being the Messiah's place. Now, a star named Child, or a asteroid comet, so comet now called Child, is in that area of that constellation. Now, this was back in 2017 when that guy did his original lecture on this.
Right.
And he said, look, crowned with 12 stars. Well, you think, well, I don't see a crown 12 stars. But up here is Leo, 12 main stars. And if you look at slide 42, Eric, bring 42 up for a second. Through the ages, depending on which country, whatever you're in, they represented the constellation Leo with 12 stars. Not the same 12, but they always had 12 stars. 12 here, 12 there. And if you skip to the right just a bit, or pan to the right in your page, the other way, the right, here you go. And this is from the Middle Ages where they had a picture of Leo with 12 stars. So 12 stars crown her head in the picture there in slide 37. Now, it's important if you look at slide 39's picture. On the left, slide 39.
Coming up.
Is that slide? Okay. I couldn't tell whether that was a slide or my background. I had it up there. Okay. Well, slide 39, when it comes up, we're going to be looking at Virgo standing, the woman standing up and over her head crowned with 12 stars. The zodiac takes 25,000 years to make a complete revolution around our North Pole when we're looking up at the stars. Now, the start place for the zodiac is with Virgo, and you go down the screen and around 25,000 years around and back around to Leo. So it starts with Virgo and ends with Leo, the lion, the king, returning. It's very interesting because if you think about it, when the goat herders were out there, when the Neanderthal or whatever were out there in the bush, looking up at the stars, and if you do it even now, look up at the stars, and you tell me, okay, there is Virgo, I can see the outline of a lady, or there's a lion, I can see that, or in this picture here, there's a snake, or whatever. If you do that, I'll be surprised, because they're just random stars out there, and they're all moving in different directions anyway, probably away from the Big Bang spot or whatever. And so, excuse me, I defy you to say, well, it's obvious that is a star formation that makes the belt of Orion. Somewhere back in history, way back, someone said these stars make pictures. And remember, these pictures and the story and the names of the stars in those formations tell more detail about that formation. Ah, okay. Well, whoever said that is also telling it that they put this map in the heavens for you to remember by the campfire before writing was invented even, so that you can know the progress of the things happening on Earth from the birth of the Messiah to the ruling king, or coming down as the lion. So I looked in Bullinger's book on the movements of the stars and his investigation into the Arabic names for the stars and their formation. Like this guy, Bob Breaker's doing in the video, we'll look at it in a minute, where he says, look at these stars, look at the ancient names of the stars, these formations, these constellations, and they tell you more detail about what's happening at that period of time on the Earth. I'm just, these formations that we see here are only going to be here in this relationship for a relatively small amount of time in our lifespan. Remember that these stars that make up these formations are all moving in different directions at different velocities, at different speeds. So in 1,000 years, 2,000 years, this is going to be a different formation that we're looking at. So we're looking at this message given to us for this time. Does that mean the rapture is going to occur tonight at or should have occurred at midnight at 4 a.m. tonight, last night to now? Or is it going to be in the next few weeks or days? We are told we won't know the hour or the day of the rapture. But you can know the season thereof. And the fact that Revelation 12 mentions Virgo and there's a serpent at her feet waiting to devour the child that she's going to give birth to, which was the Messiah in the beginning. And now it's going to be the Messiah and his bride, I think, or the bride of the Messiah. But, well, let me see if I've got another image I want to see. I want to try to show you. Do we have it in that one? No. Okay. Well, let me just tell you, if you go to Stellarium, the program Stellarium, and you pick up your picture of Virgo, it's on the screen behind me even, you're going to see that there is a formation called Serpens. You can just see it behind me here in this one here. No, this one here. Right. Backwards. Spazzo. Well, right there, it says, there, Serpens, right there. You're That's right. The serpent. Okay, but up out of sight, over that way, is Draco the dragon. Well, in Revelation 12, it speaks about the red dragon. So you say, well, okay, the red dragon's never going to be at the feet of Virgo, you know, for thousands of years, if ever. But the serpent is. So did they mean the serpent being that Satan, that old red dragon, or what? I don't know. Anyhow, it's an interesting study. And the guy, Bob Breaker, in slide 438, you can get a link to his video. It's, I don't know, let me just see how many minutes it is, if I can pull that up here.
There it is on the screen right now for those people watching on Rumble or Brighteon. There you go.
Okay, it says it's about a 50-minute lecture. And he tells about how in 2017 he saw this formation and made correlation to Revelation 12 at that time. And then he goes on in the lecture here later on to show about how Israel has had unusual things happen to it at different points during the date from 1948 when it was reformed as a nation. So, you know, I don't say positively what he says is correct, but I do seem to think that there is a correlation between Revelation 12 and the star formation. Now, why do I say this? Daniel, the prophet, was not a recognized prophet. The Sanhedrin said, you haven't been trained as a prophet. You were in Babylon. You were a Chaldean, like an intellectual, you know, in the community there in Babylon. So you're not really an authorized prophet. But he did mix with astronomers there, and they were Chaldeans, the intellectual, you know, the elite of Babylon. And it was three wise men, three astronomers, who came from the east, probably Babylon Chaldeans, to follow a star that led them to the birthplace of the Messiah. They were using a star map, and something had happened there that they saw forecast. And it had to be in the names of these star formations. I'm sure that they did that. And to this, well, in fact, before the time the Romans took over Israel, they didn't have synagogues. So when they had synagogues after the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, on the floor of all their synagogues, on the main floor, was a big mosaic of the zodiac, the 12 constellations and the 12 tribes. It was very important that they use those star signs for something. And I don't think that it was secular zodiac, astrology type stuff. It was astronomy. This is why I'm sure that Robert has made this video, why I think about it as well. Because hold on. Come on, stop. Okay. Sorry. Anyway, this is why I've stressed that we look at these things, because in the ancient times, the stars were messages. And even now, they're messages for what's about to happen. It's worth seeing Bob's dissertation on this. And,
we're instructed to watch. I mean, there will be signs in the heavens. I mean, it's biblical. It's biblically based. So I get that. There's nothing non-biblical about looking at this from an astronomical perspective, in my view. Okay, so...
Yeah, definitely.
And I think that we have to do that because most people forget, or most people Well, the majority of people, I dare say, don't believe that we are fighting a spiritual battle. They think the battle is purely physical, when in fact it's spiritual manifesting in the physical, which I think it's important for people to really understand.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I look at that, and in fact, Revelation 12, I looked at it in the Greek, and went word by word looking for various things, and when it says in Revelation 12 that the serpent or the dragon is going to send out a flood to chase the people of Israel when they run away from Jerusalem, as they're instructed to do there in Revelation 12. And in looking at the Greek words about where they're going, to the place they're going to hide for a time, the Greek word for place is describing a place like a sandbar in between where two rivers meet. And also a desert region in the part where it says, just before place to wherever it says they go to. In the Greek word, it starts like, what was it, petalomai, something like that, with a P. And, of course, we see Petra is often thought of to be where they're going to run to that desert place to be sheltered for a time, and which is in southwest Arabia. I wonder how that would work, since Muhammad bin Salman is probably going to be the false prophet or the Antichrist. And that's Saudi Arabia, but anyhow, that's it. And I talked to a pastor. How much time we got left here? Sorry.
We've got about 4 minutes.
Okay. I had a pastor call me from Jerusalem. He's had a meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu, and they were talking about this, you know, Israel fleeing and where would they go when the time comes. And the pastor and Netanyahu said, "We'll be going to the old Garden of Eden, you know, the original Garden of Eden." I said, "Well, where are you finding that?" "Over in Tanzania at the Ngorongoro Crater, the same place that I tracked it to by using biblical clues." So they're aware that they're going to have to go there, and they will probably need a plane to get either there or to Petra. And Petra, I think you can go by land or by boat. But if you need the wings of a great eagle to fly you to Tanzania, that would make sense, and to land there at Arusha Airport or whatever, and then by bus and whatever go up to the crater. And there's game there even today, you know, for food, and there's water, and some trees for shelter, and the Maasai can show you how to build a hut for, you know, protecting you from the rain if there is any at that time. So that might be the place that they go. And I just found it amazing how we get a call from this pastor who was there visiting with the prime minister, and they were saying the same place that I'd located, but they were saying that's where they're going to go. Strange stuff, isn't it?
Very interesting indeed. And folks, if you haven't done so already, Stan's intellectual property, his research into the location of the Garden of Eden, well worth getting a copy of that. I'm telling you what, very compelling when you take a look at all of the things considered in that, stand-up. Thank you for that.
You know, well, you're welcome. And I only followed what the Lord led me to do by time and circumstance. I didn't ever think I was going to be going to look for the Garden of Eden, but certain events happened that started me on that path. And then after Eden, it led me to the cause of the great flood and where it occurred and where the asteroid hit the earth in the Indian Ocean that split the earth's land masses into the continents we've got now and flooded the entire planet with like rolling tsunamis and broke open the crust of the earth to make this hot salty water come up from the Moho discontinuity. I was able to then scientifically locate Atlantis, which was one of, I think, maybe 12 places where fallen angels bred with humans and built civilizations, like in South America and China, and even in North America. There was a small pyramid. But anyway, I digress. But there's just so many things. If you get Eden, and look at the free thing of Atlantis on the internet, look up Atlantis Discovery Stan Day or something on YouTube or Rumble, and you can have a free look at the discussion of it. It's just fascinating to see the actual things and what caused it.
Man, fantastic. A lot of information, folks. Stan Dale from standale.com. The link will be in the program description box. only at HagmanPI.com, as well as, well, the EMP Shield. If you go to HagmanPI.com, click on the link to the EMP Shield, and don't forget to use code word Hagman for $50 off. And we get extra, we get a little star and by our name when that happens. So, but Stan,
quick,
thank you.
Quick, go ahead. Quickly, look at slide 29 on my show images page. That's the link to that Atlantis video. Slide 29.
Okay, very good. All right, folks, that'll do it. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. God bless. Stan, thank you so much.
Thank you. All right. Take care now.